Welcome to Football Is Nice with me, Russell Brand, and Gareth Roy, where we talk about top-flight European football and the cultural phenomena that surround it, recognising that world sport provides a framing in which we can discuss relationships, power, tribalism, unity, duty and honour, victory and loss, as well as Erling Haaland and potential hues of the tip of his reproductive organ. Nothing is excluded here. You might be an American thinking, I don't know what colour Erling Haaland's reproductive organs summit is. And the truth is that neither do we. Neither does anyone but him. We can, no one can stop us speculating, can they? He's beautiful, isn't he? There he is. If you're watching this now, which you can do if you are a member of our locals community or if you're watching us on Rumble, he's in his Silicon City gym jams now. Who's that clasping at him with a long finger like that? So it's a hell of a long finger that person's got. Who's he out with? E.T.? I've never seen that finger's almost up to his elbow. He's been clasped at the wrist, but the finger's halfway up to his armpit.
When people wear outfits like that, it's because they're really good at what they do, usually, isn't it? It's when they're so good at what they do that they can just wear anything.
Have you noticed, Gal?
A very conventional shirt you've got on today.
Come on, I've got a dog lead on. I'm crackers. Look at me titty poops spearing down on the planet. We've got a lot of things to talk about this week because, of course, the season is at its conclusion, or some would say its arse end. There will be some relegations. Everton, Leicester or Leeds still might get relegated from the top flight. What's that 84%? What's that 90%? Is that the percentage or the chance of it?
I think but the
really,
chance.
That don't mean nothing, does it? Because like what can happen is that if Everton don't win and Leicester and Leeds win, well, in fact, Leicester and Leeds, they can win and still go down.
Of course. If Everton win, then that's it.
If Everton win, they're out. Leicester and Leeds could win and still be out because one of those two, two of those three have to go down. That's the simple beauty of our sports. Yep. Sometimes I think American sports are amazing with their like drafts and that. It's like, you're too good. You can, like Erling Haaland in a draft system, he'd be playing
Southampton, probably.
He'd be playing at Southampton and that would really mix stuff up down at the Saints. But in our system, he goes to Manchester City, the best club with the most money.
And they keep winning.
Backed by a state.
Forever.
Let's have another one and another one and another one and another one. I mean, like, this is, I suppose, the challenges. And I don't begrudge Man City fans their... I begrudge them a bit. I begrudge Man City fans their happiness because I'd like to feel happy one day. And they currently do. But the fact is that at the moment, they're an unstoppable
footballing
force.
Well, they're happy now. Imagine how happy they could be in a couple of weeks' time if they get the treble. I mean, that's something that actually I was going to ask you. Did you think you would see the treble happening again? I think after United did it, I kind of thought we're not going to see that.
I'm always expecting a treble.
Right.
When Liverpool done the double in, I think, was it 1986 when West Ham should have won the league? I was thinking people should do things like that.
they should.
That's what I thought they should be doing. I thought that's what we're trying to do. In fact, I remember thinking like that people shouldn't... Like, say, right, look at what I think. I remember thinking this. In a World Cup, like, say what Argentina won the World Cup, but didn't they lose to, like, Japan or someone at some point?
Yeah, it wasn't it?
I think they should be struck off.
I think...
Strike them off. And if you are Argentinian, and like Nick Ortner, my friend, what can you say to... How can you ever counter my argument that you are not the best football team in the world you lost to Japan?
Got it.
You're not. Japan beat you.
Sure.
11 aside, 90 minutes, they won.
Yeah, I can see this warped logic of yours, but...
It's not warped. It's brutal, blunt, and lacking in nuance.
They won everything else, though. I guess it's a bit like the way Man City, when they drew 1-1 with Forest earlier in the season.
Strike them off!
And then they changed their tactics completely and put John Stones into the midfield, and then they just won forever after that.
I don't agree either, if I may say, with moving people's position
around.
It's
unbelievable what's going on now.
John Stones, he's a centre-back. He's good-looking.
Ever so good-looking.
Remember there was a bit where Everton didn't sell him. Money can't buy you stones, sang the Everton fans. Yeah. Money can't buy you stones.
Yeah.
But it did. And did buy you stones. It also bought you Calvin Phillips. It's bought you Erling Haaland. Look, like, we've got friends that are City fans. Of course we have. And them City fans have endured long years of humiliation and wilderness outside the top flight. In fact, when Coventry last got relegated, they were relegated alongside Man City.
Amazing.
And Coventry could be back in the top flight, Coventry or Luton. I'm hoping for Luton, as you know, because Luton are such a, no disrespect Luton fans, such a bastard club. Yeah. Like if Luton, like it's like Luton, that's too mental like to have Luton. Yeah. Like that's what that is Man City is the Apolline. Mm. It is the sun god, best exemplified by the mighty Nordic red-hued cocked Erling Haaland.
Sure.
Luton, that is Dionysian. That's berserker energy. Like letting that loose in the top flight. I'm not talking about crowd trouble and those kind of things, which are very serious issues, except for Knowlesy. Except for Knowlesy, the West Ham fan. Yeah. Knowlesy, yes, he can protect the West Ham families from a ZD aardvark or whatever they're called.
That's right.
He can protect them. Old Knowlesy, he stood at the top because West Ham, of course, won their semi-final against AZ Alkmaar.
Correct.
A team that had to be made up as a result of only getting A's in a game of Scrabble. And I don't think they're in Amsterdam and they play against Ajax. There's many A's to have. Like when the AZ Alkmaar fans breached the friends and family section in the semi-final of the Europa Conference League, where West Ham, of course, triumphed, Knowlesy, a West Ham fan, stood between the black hooded Akmar fans and the families of West Ham players. And the West Ham players also got stuck in as well. So this is a complex thing. Look, I'm going to say this. Everyone condemns violence of all types. Violence is bad, as you know from my brilliant item, Brandy on Gandhi. Mm. I love non-violence. I love it. I love non-violence. But people, when they talk about football violence, I think they overcompensate and don't include that it is a bit exciting when some happens. As long as no one gets hurt, I'm not talking about people getting hurt and people dying. People getting hurt and dying, that's its own category. It's bad if that happens as a result of a peanut allergy or any reason. People dying is bad.
Not so many of those in football matches.
Could happen though if you were to sprinkle, instead of like doing a, like pulling a thing like, oh, we sack the board on an aeroplane thing, like they do sometimes, you know? Like people do a protest, they really think that's effective. Right, get a plane, put up there.
We've exhausted all other possibilities.
Glazers out. Now let's fly across the stadium.
Yeah.
Glazers out. All right, that should do it. Let's just sit back and wait for those glazers to give up the billions of pounds of debt that they've straddled Man United with. It's not going to make any difference at all, is it? So ridiculous. If instead of doing that, though, they just sort of sprinkle peanuts down, it would eventually have an impact.
Terrorism, isn't it?
Yeah. It's against people that have got peanut allergies or strawberries. They're the two things to go for in terms of allergies anyway. Knowlesy, though, he would punch those peanuts straight back into the sky. Let's have a look at Knowlesy doing what he does best. If you're listening to this as a podcast, well done. If you want to see it in full, watch it on Rumble or indeed Locals. Let's check out Knowlesy. Looks like hooliganism, but it's hooliganism for good, because Knowlesy is a gatekeeper. He's like Gandalf. Thou shall not pass, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, it's really impressive. I mean,
he's good at fighting. He's swinging them haymakers.
It's one of those moments where, because I was watching the game, we were texting each other watching it. It was obviously amazing. I thought West Ham did brilliantly defensively. They were brilliant. And then that goal at the end was just the icing on the cake.
Capped it all for Knowlesy's brilliant goal.
That was fantastic. And then obviously like the jubilation, the elation of the West Ham players. I love listening to the Coles, both of them doing the punditry. They're so brilliant together.
Joe Cole and Carlton Cole, both former West Ham players. Joe Cole, a brilliant, brilliant player. Alex Ferguson famously would always ask the incumbent manager of West Ham, whoever it was over that period, Harry Redknapp most likely, oh, how's young Joe Cole getting along? Joe Cole, of course, went to Chelsea, and I get the sense that he prefers Chelsea because, like, you know, when you see him on other stuff, you can tell the players that have played for numerous clubs have one that's their special club. Many people that I know that Everton fans don't like Gary Lineker on Match of the Day because he don't mention Everton.
Never mentions
enough.
Them.
He only mentions Leicester. And Spurs a bit. Don't mention Everton. No. That's when he got that great goal haul that led to him going to Barcelona. Mention Everton. And I get the idea that Joe Cole might like Chelsea. But like Carlton Cole went the other way. Came from Chelsea to West Ham. Beloved by the West Ham fans. Being a guest on Football is nice. Yeah. It was great when he came here. Oh, love him so much. And like their chat afterwards was amazing. Both called each other Coley.
Yep, both Coley.
Like, nothing is Coley. Well, I don't know about that, Coley. Yeah. It's nice, isn't it?
So nice.
That is nice to hear two people.
Because someone will have gone, hang on, you can't both be. They're going,
why not? I'm Coley, he's Coley. What's wrong with that? We're just a couple of Coleys. What, you can't take too many Coleys?
Whoever booked those two for the first time deserves a pay rise.
It's brilliant. And Coley, I'm talking about Carlton Cole.
Yeah, okay.
He still works at West Ham, doesn't he? I think he's part of the youth staff or something, he was telling us.
Yeah.
What I really liked in this analysis, 3-3-3, the Lord is with us. What I really liked in this analysis is that Joe Carrasco, it's disgusting, it's pathetic. Violence is disgusting, it's pathetic, it's disgusting, because you've got to condemn violence. You've got to really go overboard with it, condemning the violence and everything. And then Carlton Cole trying to describe his own emotional state.
Yes.
It's so amazing. I don't know what to feel. At one point he goes, I'm elated. I'm angry. I just want to feel normal again. Yeah. He says something like he wants to feel normal. Yeah. Like someone who just took too many drugs and scared himself a bit.
Yeah.
Like, which I have done.
Yeah. And
like,
then had to go onto the television to describe how they were feeling rather than being in a bedroom on their own.
Here you go. Do this LSD. Do this MDMA.
You're live in front of millions.
All right. I condemn all the violence. West Ham just I just want to go to bed.
He's so authentic, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think that's what's so beautiful about it. You watch them both, and Joe Cole obviously has always had that about him. He's obviously a brilliant pundit. And then Carlton Cole, he just says exactly what he thinks. It's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, when he came on our show, and let us know in the chat in the comments who your cult heroes are. He qualifies as a West Ham cult hero, definitely. Like, that means to say it's obvious to admire players that have scored great many goals or the sort of recorded and registered heroes of your club or sports team, but a cult hero is someone who has this sort of odd affinity with. Well, Carlton Cole, when we told, like, the West Ham anthem for him was Carlton Cole, always believe in your soul, you're indestructible. Like, when we told him about it, he goes, I liked it when they sang that, because, like, it says, like, I've got to believe in my soul, and like, I am indestructible. Like, he was actually took it to his heart, didn't he?
Yeah.
That, and you can see this in this little bit of coverage.
Joe, I know how pleased you are for your former club to see them in a major European final, but distasteful scenes at the full-time whistle. People at home haven't seen what happened. Yeah. Can you describe what you...
They won't show it. Like when someone comes on naked, another thing they won't show.
Right.
They should show that.
That's when I got worried, actually, watching this.
Oh, is this serious?
That's exactly that. And because you knew something was happening, like you do with, as you say, when someone strips. But when they weren't showing it, I was like, oh no, this is going to turn from like elation to tragedy.
Isn't it mad that, like, they've obviously gone, don't show streakers or pitch invaders because it encourages them and we've got more. But when it's like a mass murder at a school...
Yeah.
Show that, though.
As much of the details of the...
Glorify that.
As much as we can.
Make them sound like they're someone from The Matrix.
Yeah, so that people will copy them.
Yeah, like, that's much
as
worse.
As is an actual thing.
Crowd violence is obviously bad. All forms of violence is bad. You don't need a separate category for it. Violence, bad. Like, but like...
Yeah, now, as we've said before, streaking... Like,
that's
it's not
good.
Well, it's not like
it's
thousands
not
of people lined up to streak if they see someone do it.
It's good. Like I see it in a category of, like, when a dog comes on or a balloon, like a balloon too near the ball, like, oh no, there's going to be a
Which
bit confused.
Which one's he going to kick?
Like Edison or someone who's very serious and then they have to sort of, going to have to deal with this balloon. Maybe someone will pop it or something.
That's probably the only way Man City are ever going to lose again.
A balloon beat Edison. It confused him. He saw it as too weak and gaseous, filled with the wrong sort of fuel. He likes things that are backed by oil, mighty oil. Yeah, like, it. God knows what it's going to take to disrupt that juggernaut. And like I see it as just gentle chaos, a streak. Let's condemn violence again. But nudity, someone runs on in the nud.
Yeah.
Well done you.
Right.
Silly.
Yeah.
Silly
and they
fun.
Can never think of what to say as well when
they
it
don't
happens.
Know what to do once they're stupid.
No.
That's pathetic.
Oh dear. Look.
That's worse than that, for God's sake. Now it's Joe Cole. I love Joe Cole. He's a brilliant player, he's a brilliant bloke. I think he's in my phone somewhere. Love him.
Name drop.
He's not living in there, he's got his own life outside of it. He's in there with old JC and the guys living the Vida Loco, and him, he's in there, Ricky Martin. I love the lot of them. Let's see what he says. But Carlton's is well funny.
Well, it's absurd, Jules, you know.
Absurd.
Ridiculous, grown men, you know, turn out AZ Alkmaar fans, attacking the West Ham fans where the families were sitting and our friends and colleagues were sitting.
Families, he says families.
Look. Yeah.
The players know they're there. The players were trying to get involved to break up. But
I've seen a little bit of it. They were doing all right. Like, Mikel Antonio, I wouldn't want to mess with that dude.
Nope.
Like, because he, even during a football match, he looks like he's going to snap someone's spine in half, like, from a corner.
He's massive.
He asses goalkeepers in the midriff to their detriment, Mikel Antonio. And then, like, I see, like, Benrahma getting involved, though. I'm surprised by that. There's some footballers
Because he dyes his hair?
Yeah, right. And he's quite thin. Those are like, there's some footballers.
No, but it's their families, Russ. That's the thing. Like, you would, if any of us would do this. That's the thing. They
right,
rush
this isn't
across.
About, like, oh, Uzada, Razor no. Radical, no. Robbie Savage, no, or no. Vinnie Jones. Like, the old school, self-styled hard men, no. Paul Ince, Keane, Vieira. This is more like, my family!
Yeah, of course.
My family are under attack!
You've got to have a look at UEFA and things like that. You know, and AZ Alkmaar, to a certain degree, because...
Coley, though, West Ham through and through. You've got to look at AZ Alkmaar. And FIFA, it's like really, it's not West Ham.
Yeah.
Good on him.
He had the same incidents at Frankfurt last year.
And Frankfurt, they're bastards.
It gets a slap on the wrist. You know,
it'll be more than a slap on the wrist.
You get AZ Alkmaar fans turning up with balaclavas, going there and throwing punches and throwing hands. You know, football's for families, it should be inclusive for everybody. It was just ridiculous. And the players, rightfully so, concerned. Families over there.
Families. Rightfully.
Yeah. You know, friends, maybe kids over there. Absolutely ridiculous in the modern game. And the men that do it and turn up at it, complete pathetic.
Football is an emotional game, Carlton, but you do not want to see these types.
Carlton's having to get his head together for this. It's
serious face.
But he actually conveys it quite brilliantly in retrospect.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's been too many things have happened in a short period of time. West Ham have reached the European final. Yeah. There's been crowd disturbances. Players have got stuck in to protect their families. And now they're on the television.
Yeah.
It is too much,
isn't
it?
I wouldn't know what to say.
Well, let's see how Coley handles it.
The scenes at full time. And also, it seemed quite unexpected considering it was a game that didn't have much needle in it.
There was no need for it. Like, West Ham have come here, done their job. They've not disrespected them or in any shape or form. Families over there, obviously, when a last goal like that's gonna goes in from 4-0, everyone's elated, everyone's happy. You can't suppress your feelings.
That's good. You can't suppress your feelings, because that's a broad analogy. What do you think goes in the earpiece there?
I've no idea. I mean, I guess the hard thing about this for me is that they were commenting on this as it was happening.
It's still sort of going on.
So it doesn't... I think this is the thing. What doesn't
compute is... It's like a director's commentary
of
a crowd disturbance.
Potentially really quite serious violence.
So you can't have the coolness of analysis.
Well, the thing is, they're expected to still do that. It's still the same like post-match analysis set up, you know, that's what we're doing. But some chaos is happening. Was the actual natural reaction, if you weren't on telly, would be to drop your mics, go over, try and help, give a helping hand or something, or make sure people are all right. So it must be really strange for them to be doing post-match analysis when all this chaos is going on.
In a sense, it's like a Stanford experiment, like where you're sort of forced to have an unnatural reaction to suffering. And in a way, that starts to expose how much our culture imposes upon us behaviours and norms that are at odds. In fact, civilization broadly is the repression of instincts, which Carlton Cole just told us we should not be doing. You can't suppress your emotions. Carlton Cole's been clear about that.
The families are over there. The families are not going to be over there in the crowd with the other family.
Serious West Ham away support. You know, your family with them.
And sometimes you just got to understand that. Sometimes, Coley, emotions do take hold of you, and we get that.
But Coley.
Coley, emotions do take hold of you, Coley.
Coley.
When there's grown men turning up with balaclavas.
The
balaclavas. Joe Cole settled on that. Hold on a minute, that's premeditated.
That's good imagery though, isn't it?
You've brought a balaclava to a football match. That's not right. That's, you don't need that. What circumstance, like, you've got your rattle.
Right.
You've got your program.
You're probably not even allowed the rattle these days.
That's a weapon.
There's a lot of emotions going on.
Coley, it's the same men.
That's just ridiculous.
Coley, it's the same men that was outside the players' hotels last night setting off fireworks.
Yeah.
They're in black balaclava. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Just chill out.
Just chill out. What are you doing? You're outside a hotel. You're in a black balaclava setting off fireworks. You're a grown man. Chill out. I love Carlton Cole.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but UEFA have to get, you know, they have to nail down. And it's an AZ Alkmaar have to nail down. You know, for so long, English football's been in the doldrums. People talk about being hooliganism and things like that. But when they come, we don't see things like that in England. We haven't done for a long time in the stadium. You know, and it's other countries in Europe. You know, we get a bad reputation for it. But all I saw there was it was absolutely pathetic.
We could see the West.
So what's funny, I'll tell you about it, is that suddenly, like, your appointed role is to comment. The reason, what did all these people used to do for a living? They're footballers. Mm. So what is their area of expertise? Yeah. Football.
That's right.
What are they discussing now? Social dynamics, right. The behavior of crowds, mass psychosis.
Yes.
They're discussing stuff that not many people have anything other than an opinion on,
right.
Because it's a complex issue that, as you have alluded to, Gareth, is resourced from sort of social and economic tensions, the power, the ceremonial power of sport. In fact, in a sense, the underlying idea or an animating thesis of our podcast is that football, in creating a liminal space, provides the possibility of a type of discourse and analysis that's too broad and complex elsewhere. Once you establish a set of rules, you can start to see things more clearly, because
yep.
across a culture, there are so many variables. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Did they do that? And what's the influence of that? It becomes baffling.
Yes.
It's disorienting. In football, you can say, right, in this ceremonial space, you've got 11 players, we've got 11 players, and then suddenly there's some order. You know, you can't just pick up the ball and run and throw it in the net. That's not allowed. That's why things that appear like brinkmanship, like inequality and sort of, and again, at various times you could argue that Man United or Liverpool or Nottingham, you know, it's like, it's again, the argument is well worn that you go ad infinitum, but in a sense, like into the resources of football clubs historically. But I suppose we're at a new point and potentially a tipping point with states backing
yeah.
football clubs. So it's, the other thing is that in that ceremonial space is that you get to see David Moyes, like, I think, purge and address repressed feelings
yeah.
of failing right the way back to being appointed Man United manager, brought on by the encounter with Robin van Persie,
yep.
like, of course, played for Moyes there,
right.
having been signed by Ferguson and being sort of like the tail end of the Ferguson era. Like, and it made me realise that what a part of the ceremonial power is of the sport, and indeed, you know, perhaps sport more broadly, that even though the argument can certainly be made that the Europa Conference League is a third tier European tournament that only has the people that aren't in the teams that aren't in the Champions League, aren't in the Europa League, are in that. So, like, you know, what is that? What level are you competing at, really?
Sure.
But nevertheless, because the ceremony is all there, semi-finals, two legs, trophy at the end of it, it works its magic. It works its emotional magic. The point of ceremony is to induce certain states of mind.
Yeah.
And certain states of being, the liturgy at a church, the attendance of a wedding. You know, and because we have so few rituals and ceremonies, it's like we're bereft of that, even that process. And when you see David Moyes or some of the scenes of elation and celebration in the dressing room after, what you're witnessing is people have accessed a new state. And I think there's something important in that. There's a sort of something in the Torah or some piece of Judaic literature that says that in the old times, it was known that you would go down to the woods and you would find the sacred tree and you would do your ceremony. Then time passed and people died and they couldn't find the tree anymore. So they just went into the woods and did the ceremony and it was still okay. Then time passed and people died and they couldn't remember whether or not you were meant to go to the woods. So they just did the ceremony best they could, but it worked anyway. It's not the particularities of the ceremony, it's ceremony itself that's effective. And I think we live in a culture that is stripping back ceremony itself, stripping back even the concept of belief, the concept of faith. Maybe the powerful institutions, Gareth, that we spend all of our time criticizing somehow benefit even from being condemned and criticized in that manner, because it contributes to a sort of a nihilistic state of unbelief and sort of the diffuse despair. You know, and when you see the impact of ceremony and belief, like, there's, if David Moyes believes that that's important, if West Ham fans believe that that's important, if we believe it's important, then it is important. It becomes important. And David Moyes is therefore sort of going, you know, I did my best at Man United and we actually got three goals in that quarterfinal. You see him sort of processing stuff that he's not doing that on a, like, when he's walking his dog. I mean, maybe he is, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, what you know, what are competitions in general? I mean, you know, obviously it's amazing what Man City have done, and five titles in six seasons, but Man City are competing within a limited strata of quality and wealth. So what you could say is West Ham's ability to maybe win this final, because of the amount of money that they have compared to, say, Man City, means that it's a greater achievement. I don't know. You know, if you look at Man City, you go, well, how many competitors do they actually have? One, two, three max? So they're essentially competing in a competition of four to win the Premier League. And with the Champions League, with maybe, what, six or something. Whereas West Ham, with the resources that they have, admittedly more resources than other Premier League teams and certainly European teams,
yeah.
But it's a great achievement. So I guess it's, you can't really see it in kind of the terms of, oh, it's not as good as the Champions League or it's not as good as the Europa League. I think you have to recontextualise it, as
yeah,
you say.
I suppose otherwise you wouldn't have under-11s football,
right.
Or different categories of football. You wouldn't have sports for people with different levels of ability, special or Paralympics or whatever.
Yeah, I loved seeing Moyes' reaction. Actually, I think Moyes is someone who normally comes out and I think he's great at doing post-match interviews. Actually, he's very kind of matter of fact. He's pretty honest with his kind of analysis usually. But I saw a really human side to him after that. And it was really beautiful. And obviously him and Van Persie had a nice connection. And then seeing like Declan Rice comes in. Every time I see more of Declan Rice, I think, he seems like such a great guy. And see the scenes in the dressing room. I loved it for West Ham. I'm definitely, I really hope that they win it.
Should we have a look at Gary Neville failing to understand the concept of a holiday? Gary Neville is perhaps a head and shoulders above all else, perhaps other than Simon Jordan, when it comes to the world of punditry and commentary and offering opinions not only on football but life in general. Do I do this? Sometimes I think I've invented something.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, that thing's already there. We've all been doing it for ages. It's like...
Well, not if it's the weekend.
Weekend, I'll just say. Well, I actually have a different view on that. That doesn't exist. It's just a made-up thing. It's just some words.
There'll be no retirement.
Come on, carry on working. Well, I think we could use AI to keep Gareth's body twitching for another couple of months. Rattle a couple more hero videos out of him. Let's have a look at Gary Neville not understanding the concept of a weekend or a holiday.
But what you can have is mini retirements during the year. And that's what I've tried to do. I don't do it very well. So, for instance, this weekend.
New concept, Gary.
Yeah, that's
you're not going to master mini retirements off the bat.
No.
Right, Gary, we're going to do this thing, mini retirement. All right, give us a minute to fucking get me around it. What is it? Right, Friday, like go pub or whatever. Saturday, watch
is
football.
Is it like inverted wing backs? Is that what it's like?
Yeah, it's sort of like that.
Right,
yeah,
okay. It will take time. Yeah, it took Man City time, but...
But they cracked it, didn't they? And then bringing John Stones Trent's playing midfield. Right, so Saturday, Sunday, it's like the other days, but you're at home with your wife and your kids and that, all right? And then maybe go Benidorm, Barbaya, something like that for a week, go down the beach. You know, it's going to be all right, Gary.
I'm going to Spain Friday till Monday morning.
It's a weekend.
It's an actual weekend.
You've not invented that.
I call that's like a mini retirement.
Retirement. Hang on a minute. I'll tell you what I'm doing now. I'm doing a fucking mini retirement here. Started Friday. It's gone on Monday though. Back to work. So it's like a mini retirement, but it's like the circle of life, like fucking Lion King. I'm going to write this down for Elton John.
So
that's a weekend.
It's a weekend. It's a mini retirement. It's where I basically can say...
Ignored it. Some of the blokes just told him. That's a weekend, mate. That's called a weekend. Yeah, no, mini retirement.
3 days, I'm there, and I'm basically taking it. You know, I don't think about work. Now I will, but...
That's a weekend! I won't think about work. Oh, shit, I better get that done Monday, though, thinking about, I wonder what I should probably pull that forward if I text them now. That's a weekend!
Maybe he's... I think Gary Neville is lining up a new vacation business called Neville's Mini Retirements.
Right, what we got is Mini Retirements. Like when you hear them homeless people staying... He has got a hotel.
Yeah.
He's got a hotel.
Oh!
I was angry about that.
I know you were.
Because I stayed at his hotel.
And he wasn't there.
Because I was in the car driving there. My wife goes, what are you thinking about now? Because she said I looked unusually wistful. And she goes, what are you thinking about? I goes, I'm just like imagining that when we get to the hotel, Gary Neville will be there to meet us.
Personally.
And that he's going to go, all right, mate. And I was actually imagining all the things that he was going to say. And these were those things.
Go on.
Hi, mate, I'm so glad you've come to my hotel to enjoy a mini retirement with us and our mini retirement team here at Neville Hotels. And I love what you're doing for society, by the way. You've really put your neck out, put your neck online, mate. And you're saying a lot of things that really need to be said. It'd be my honour to have you down at Salford. In fact, you can have the box. We've got a box there. Bex is coming, actually, and everyone's going to really make much of you and celebrate. And that's what I was thinking to myself as I was driving out to Manchester. And when I got there was no one there. It's just people that worked at the hotel that had to be there, mandated by the economic necessity of taking those jobs and nothing. Didn't see Gary Neville.
Were they working on their mini retirements?
They were always, And mind you, who'd been on the top floor? Who's the Divock Origi had been up on the top floor? That's why I couldn't have it. Because Divock Origi had been up there, super sub Divock Origi.
It's unlike you to take that.
I weren't happy about it, to tell the truth. I go, when Divock Origi going to go? Yeah. Well, we can't
tell. He's going to Milan in a couple of months.
Yeah, you know, he's that goal against Everton.
He's
vital
a cult
goals.
Hero, apparently. We'll get rid of him.
He's a good example of a cult hero. Go. Very good example. Tell us your cult heroes and we'll, I don't know what we'll do. Might ignore it. No, we won't ignore it. We'll celebrate it if you give us a good reason why they're a cult hero and all that kind of thing. We don't mean David Koresh from Waco. My cult hero is David Koresh. He started a Christian sect based on the Branch Davidians. Sadly, it ended in a massacre, including the deaths of, well, a lot of people died. 76 yeah. people died. Oh, that's ridiculous. That's pathetic. I mean, what they've done, Coley, right, is the FBI, they've started off by playing like high-pitched siren noises, then they've rolled tanks in, Coley, and it's nice.
Did they need that amount of ammunition, Coley? What do you think?
Well, I don't know, mate. It seems like they could have, like, solved that problem through diplomacy, and what they're trying to do, really, is establish a precedent for, like, if anyone tries to stand up against state authority, it's legitimate to use violence against them.
Was the Branch Davidians really a fortress, Coley? What do you think? Or do you think it was normally just a house?
It's just actually a house. I mean, like, you can use the word like fortress to make something seem like a legitimate military target, when in fact it's just a house. I mean, it didn't have any fortifications or munitions. I mean, in fact, all they had is a few rifles that were there legally, because guns are legal in this country, Coley.
Thanks, Coley.
All right. Okay, Coley and Coley will be back next week, where they'll be discussing maybe that Exxon or something like that. You know, the oil spill. Be good, wouldn't it? Something like that. Let's just finish up. Gary Neville, in this still, if you're watching this on Rumble or Locals, he's looked a bit agitated that bloke said that's a weekend.
Yeah. And sometimes some of my best ideas come when I'm on these types of trips. But then in 6 weeks...
Types of trips. Still not accepting these words. Weekend, holiday. Yeah. So accepted
that's
across the world.
Types of trips.
These type of trips that I do, like between Friday and Monday, or sometimes like week off. Over the Christmas period, I have one of these mini retirements where, like, sort of during the mini retirement period, we celebrate the birth of, like, this lad. This little lad come. Apparently, he was the incarnation of a divine spirit. And we, just in my family, this. We said, are you talking about Christmas? No, I don't think so. And over Easter, like, with an odd amalgamation of pagan ideas built around the emergence of nature, like, the egg and chicks and rabbits have nothing to do with Christianity, but also the rebirth of Christ. We eat eggs and stuff like that, and I maybe watch the brilliant Russell Brand film, Hop. I've always thought he would win a fight against Tom Hardy. BJJ, bare knuckle, cock wallops, any type of fight, really.
I'll have another mini retirement for 5 days or 4 days, rather than thinking you're going to stop for 6 months and...
Thinks that they're going to stop for 6 months. That's not a holiday. That's a mental breakdown.
No, you're not like 70, Gary. We do recognise that you are in your working life.
He's the same age as us, isn't he? Like I'm not going to like go off for 6 months or like just stop working forever, like, and go move to Florida, stay down there in La Boca Vista like Seinfeld's parents, and, you know, get that Cadillac off my son, Jerry.
Sort of have a sabbatical. That's not probably going to happen with people like you or I, because we just basically don't work that way. So to have lots of mini retirements during the year is what I've tried to do in the last few years.
Mini retirements, really funny.
Like people like you or I. What do you mean, like all of us of a particular age group? That's basically what you mean.
He's amazing. I feel that Simon Jordan and him have a sort of a tension of like who's the pundit that's most moves outside punditry.
It's because they can both talk about business as well, isn't it? We like that.
They're business.
It's a new type of leadership. Football pundit who can do football and the business side.
Football and business. Yeah. So we were talking about the, of course, the power of ceremony. And indeed, we touched upon the underwriting idea of Football is Nice, that it provides a lens to analyse a wide range of cultural issues and seeing the reaction of, you know, like if you think about just talking about that clip from the West Ham v AZ Alkmaar game, we're talking about, oh yeah, you can't expect footballers to lucidly talk, although they actually did. I think Joe Cole and Colin Cole did a great job, like about sort of cultural issues that are entirely outside of football as a sport and more about cultural phenomena. It's always amusing when figures like inside a particular genre commentate on other issues. I mean, something's been levelled at me. Oh, what's the bloke out of Sarah Marshall doing chatting about anything other than being in Sarah Marshall, frankly? Let's have a look at Big Sam talking about his fears of AI. Even though Big Sam, I believe, was one of the early adopters of sort of, what was it called, you know, like when it was all just looking at data and
that's
stuff
right.
at Bolton, he was one of the first to sort of go, hang on a minute, if we scare the shit out of Arsenal, they won't be able to beat us. They're all terror. Arsenal are famously a club of chalkers. Well, if you get them, their bottle goes, little tug on the shirt, they'll fold up like deck chairs. Let's have a look at Big Sam.
I do fear for our life with, as an old an old timer now. I fear for our life with social media and what it's bringing to the world. I know there's great stuff about that, but, you know, AI, you know.
You know.
It's very much, I go to my advice to Elon Musk and Sam Allardyce.
That's... A lot of people don't think you should trust Sam Allardyce when it comes to getting a team out of a relegation scrap at the end of the season. Some people are like, Sam Allardyce, right. Yes. Furthermore, I'd like to know what he thinks about AI, something that actually no one can understand because by his nature beyond human intelligence. Bless him, Big Sam. I like Big Sam, and of course, as you know, I once kissed him on the face when he was manager of West Ham, when West Ham beat Man City.
Something got the better of him this time as well, didn't you, West Ham?
Yes, that's right. An important victory for West Ham against Leeds United, in spite of Leeds temporarily going one up. I bet I predicted that result correctly, actually.
Oh, I think you actually did.
Maybe 100% correctly, or maybe I went for 2-1 like I always do, like the weird little nit I am. Well, Gareth, you got two exactly right, and I only got one exactly right.
Oh, really?
Right.
Which one did you get exactly right?
I got Fulham v Palace. Who cares? Exactly right. You got Brighton Southampton exactly right, and you got. We've moved on to score predictions now. That's one of the things we do: score predictions. And we're 16 all. Oh, it's like the kind of title race we'd have now if Arsenal didn't choke under the pressure of being only modestly backed by a sort of American and Russian billionaires rather than a proper country. So I've got one correct result. You've got two correct results. I've got three correct scores. That's what's getting me in it, is my eerie ability to exactly do a score. I could choke Arsenal's time. Except, Gareth, I'll point this out, because you are the Man City of this. Do you know why? Because I do, you done really. Yours later. Yeah. Under, you perhaps had a glass of wine, a little cigarette, relax, come up with some football scores. I do it under hustle, like Knowlesy, at the top of the staircase. Bang, result. Bang, draw.
That's how you,
bam,
that's
3-1.
How you do everything in your life.
Bam!
You're not going to go and relax with a glass of, I don't know, milk, is it?
I do. I have
it?
A little mini retirement. I do. At the end of work, I have a mini retirement for a half hour. I don't think about ways in which I can mitigate my feelings of low self-esteem by accruing external worth and value through money. We're going to do it. We're going to do some more predictions. We've talked to Knowlesy to death. Last week's predictions, we've both done well. Amber, you should have a look at this. We should post that. It's good. Like Amber, because they've actually really improved that.
Yeah,
after last week, it was shit. I can't believe Jack. Did Jack do that? Well done, Jack. Jack, that is the first thing you've done that actually makes visual sense, doesn't it? Because it's using an established meter, green, amber, red, taken from traffic lights, of course, to help us understand. Green is optimal. Amber is ambiguous.
You say it like traffic lights as if you don't ignore all traffic lights.
I don't agree with them.
Right.
I don't agree with the concept. Yeah. I can't
surprised you even know what red, amber and green
means. What
does
that mean? That thing's flashing away. Right, I've seen this. There's this system. I don't know. Like, it's like a Christmas thing. Like, it's like a sort of a weird pillar with like flashing lights at the top of it. I don't know what it is. You mean traffic lights? Yeah.
No, it's not that. No,
I don't think so. I don't think it's a traffic light, mate.
It's like a light show when you're in your car.
It's like little John Michel Jarre, right, but he's a box with a red head, an amber head, and a green head.
And everyone else seems to stop at this light show, but I ignore this light show.
Well, they stop for a while, but then there's a part of the show where off they go. There's a bit where they sort of rev up with anticipation. I don't know what John Michel Jarre's doing there, because since he stopped doing the music, it's less good, in my view. Can't take that to Vegas. All right, so well done, Jack, on creating something that made sense from a semiotic perspective. And there's a key, and that may come from when the other day I goes, look at these maps, Jack, because I was trying to mentor him.
Wow.
I was trying to mentor him. He's a young man.
Yeah, I know.
He's probably...
He needs figures
he's
like
probably,
you.
He's probably worried about his sexuality. And he's probably on drugs, and he's probably worried about his sexuality on drugs. He's drugged up, and he's sat there on drugs worrying himself sick about his sexuality, isn't he? So I've mentored him better.
Well done.
Look at the results.
Not only the results of the final game, but
the results of my mentoring.
Right, so
look upon my works and despair. Mentoring.
Yep.
Done correctly, finally, now that young Jack's come on leaps and bounds. I think we've got to wrap this up, even though I enjoy doing this.
No, I know you do, so do I, but...
What have I got to do instead? Something else? I'm just going to do it like this.
Well, you can do it like that.
What is it?
It's a show.
Another show.
Called the show, yeah.
Got to do another one. All right, so let's do the predictions. Anyway, why do you do your predictions later? Because that's just how you are.
That's how I am as a person.
You're much more... Do you remember when we did that, like, in one of my doomed attempts to try and run this business myself?
Oh, yeah.
Bringing in consultants. Like, they made us... colour in a chart or whatever of what our personalities were. Obviously, I refused to do it for a long time, but when I eventually did it, like in a mad rush, Like they, I was in the area that's all red. So I'm like, how do you make decisions? Just now, on my own, fuck off. I'm like, Gareth's like, oh, I don't know, won't worry about it. Oh, can I have another copy of this? I think I've put my cup of tea down on this one. Oh, it's got a ring mark on it. Mm. Like Gareth was over there in the, like, where it's all blue.
Yes.
Normal, rational thought.
Right.
Proper professional behaviour.
Scared of making decisions.
Mine was... jail. And mine was like sort of someone who's out there, baby. All right, let's do our predictions for this week. Russell's predictions: Villa, Brighton, 2-2. Everton, Bournemouth. Oh no, I think Everton have got a rally. Everton have got a rally at Goodison and win 2-0. Leeds v Spurs. I think Leeds are gonna win 2-1. Brentford v City. We can't ever bet against City. Away win 3-0. United, Fulham, I think Man U will win 1-0. Will they mess up? They can't be cooking. Liverpool catch them still.
No.
Chelsea v Newcastle, away win 2-0. Leicester v West Ham. Let's send Leicester down. Send them down. 3-0 away win. West Ham will never do that. Arsenal v Wolves. Arsenal just managed to lose again to Wolves 1-0. Or maybe do they try and it's at home? Can they produce something to end the season on a high note? Can they?
I enjoy just listening to this.
Southampton versus Liverpool. West Ham. I'm sorry, Liverpool. Away win. West Ham are going to win that. Yeah, they're going to come in. They're going to run in from the sideline. Nosey comes on, smashes the referee out of the way. But for, you know, for a good cause, Coley. And then we win that. Palace v Forest. I think...
a lot of these don't matter, do they?
Doesn't matter.
Honest.
2-2. Right, that's it. That's my predictions. Right, we've got to start a live show in 10 minutes' time. Okay, thank you very much for watching Football is Nice. Thanks for your contributions. Do text us, and we can't text us, can you know our numbers? But like, you can reach out to us on social media. Listen to us. Should I just end
of
it?
All the options you had there.
Text us. Email, phone us from our private home line. Message Elon Musk on our behalf. All right, thanks very much for listening. Football is Nice. I'll join us next week for the final week of the season.
Nice.
Yeah, Football is Nice.